Vayetze. The Shir this evening is sponsored by the Goldman family, by Aaron Goldman, by Mrs. Hannah Goldman, by Mr. Reuven Goldman, in memory of the yahrzeit of their father, husband, and brother, respectively, Yisrael Moshe Bereb Shimon, and the Neshama should have an aliyah. She's much nachas ruach from the Torah mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim that the entire family involved in. The Shir is also sponsored by Sheila Siegel and family for her father. Shmuel Avram Ben David, Shama should have an aliyah, should see much nachas ruach in the Torah, Ma'is Mitzvos, and Ma'isim Tov, and the entire family is involved in. Okay. Perchov Tes in Parashas Vayetze starts off with the curious expression, Vayisa Yaakov Raglov, Vayelech Arzo B'nei Kedem. That after the dream that Yaakov Avinu had, he lifted up his legs and he went to the land of the B'nai Kedem, the people of the East. It's a very poetic expression, Vayiso Yaakov Raglov, but one wonders what it adds to the overall description of the story. Presumably it would have been sufficient just to say, Vayelech Arzo B'nai Kedem, that Yaakov Avinu went, Vayelech Yaakov Arzo B'nai Kedem, he went to the land of the people of the East. Why this poetic expression, Vayiso Yaakov Raglov? So the Svara has the following, again, it's a standalone short insight, but I think it's an interesting insight. Svara says, Hine, kishayelech ha'odo midaito al-makon mechuvon mi'ito, when a person intentionally goes to a certain place that his intention is to go to, yitztakolov shuhunosei es raglov, he can be described as lifting up his legs. Avol kasher yisa me'eze moko mibli ein shom monoach l'chaf raglo. But when he travels from a place, it's because he simply can't find rest in that particular area. Yitzdak olav shiraglov nosos oso. A more appropriate expression in that case is that his legs carry him. Are you carrying your legs or your legs carrying you? Basically, the Svarna over here is saying that the expression, Vayiso Yaakov Raglov, he lifted up his legs, means that he was focused. He wanted to go in a certain direction. He wanted to be in a certain place. And that's in contrast to a person whose legs carry him, where the person is less interested in ending up in a certain place, but just, I've got to get out of here. I've got to leave this particular place. So I think we even use the expression in English, wherever my legs carry me, that's where I'm going to end up. I'm not focused on a particular destination. I'm not focused on a particular place. But just wherever my legs carry me, that's where I'm going to end up. So the Svarna is essentially saying that Yaakov Avinu was laser focused on going to Charan. You know, he was running away from his brother. One certainly might have seen him at this point in time as being kind of driftless, without a direction, just running wherever he would end up. And the Torah wants to emphasize, Vayiso Yaakov Raglov. Yaakov Avinu wasn't just running, and wherever I end up, that's where I'm going to be. But he had a very specific kavanah, a very specific focus. After all, his mother had told him, Kumlech Padeno Aram, you have a destination, you have a place to go, you have a place in the house of my brother Lavan. And that sense of intentionality is what the Torah wishes to convey with this phrase. Good. Okay, so Yaakov Avinu goes in that direction. He encounters the well, the three shepherds at the well. And he says to them at a certain point, Pasuk Choftes, Perek Choftes Pasuk Hei, Vayomer Lohem Hayedatem Es Lavan Ben Nachor. Do you know Lavan, the son of Nachor, the grandson of Nachor? Vayomru Yodanu. And the shepherds say, we know him. Vayomer Lohem, Hashalom Lo. So he says to the shepherds, is he well? Vayomru Shalom. They say, yes, he's well. V'nei Rachel bito bo'o imatzon. And behold, his daughter Rachel is coming right now with the sheep. So why do we know? Why do we need to know the chit-chat that's going on between Yaakov Avinu and the shepherds? So in the past, I've said over the beautiful words from Yaakov Kamenetsky, who's bothered by this question, why do we need to know, you know, is he doing well? Is he okay? You know, okay, the Torah doesn't have to write such seemingly mundane things. So Yaakov Kamenetsky beautifully says over that the very next words Lavan is going to say to the Roim, to the shepherds, are words of Musar, the words of reproof. What are you doing hanging around and seemingly doing nothing? You guys are employed. You have a job to do. You're not supposed to just be hanging around and doing nothing. You're supposed to be taking care of the sheep. Why aren't you working on your job? So Rabbi Yaakov says, before you give someone Musar, you first have to make them your friend. So that's Yaakov Avinu is entering into chit-chat, what seems to be idle conversation with these Roim, with these shepherds, in order to first create a bond of friendship with them, after which he's able to really give them Musar. You can't give Musar to somebody just like that, out of the blue. You have to first create a relationship, even a superficial relationship with them, in order for them to receive your Musar. Beautiful idea from Yaakov Kamenetsky. The Svarno seems to be grappling with a similar issue, but gives a different, but yet also very, very profound and important message with the chit-chat, the seeming chit-chat of Yaakov Avinu. He writes as follows, Pasuk Vav. Hine hishtadel lodas es shlom lovon kodem sheyire ponov. Before he would encounter Lavan, Yaakov Avinu first wanted to get a sense of what's doing in the house of Lavan. Vayomer lohem ha-shalom lo, how's he doing? What was he asking about specifically? Ki ein roi la'oreach habo lefkodes ha-ezrach be'eis simchoso uvehefko al ofen echod. Says the Svarno, it's inappropriate for a guest to come and throw himself at a host if the host is either in the midst of celebrating a simcha, or conversely, if the host unfortunately is mourning a loss. So in other words, Yaakov Avinu wanted to find out, are things hopping by Lavan in either direction? Did Lavan just make a simcha? Or Rachmana Litzlan, did Lavan just experience a difficult time? Either way, the implication of the Svarno is, had Yaakov found out that things were either extremely happy in the house of Lavan, or extremely sad in the house of Lavan, I don't know how long he would have waited, but he would have waited a period of time before trying to seek out Lavan and see if he could go to his house. Maybe he would have gone somewhere else first, and then only afterwards gone to the house of Lavan. So there's a Musar, there's a certain Derech Eretz, which the Torah is teaching us, that Yaakov Avinu, again, they didn't have a way of finding out this information before Yaakov would actually come to Charan, so the only way to find out, are things too busy for me to be accommodated? A guest can't just, you know, there's a concept of Achnasas Archim on the part of the host, but there's a concept of sensitivity on the part of the guest. The guest has to realize what is going to be very difficult for him to be a guest in somebody else's house, and he has to take that into account. The Svarno is essentially saying, before throwing himself at somebody else. Okay, so we know the continuation of the story. Yaakov Avinu goes to the house of Lavan. He works 7 years on behalf of Rachel. He's tricked, ultimately. A few interesting points that the Svarno brings out in the course of his discussion. So first, if we call our attention to Pasuk Yud Ches, so there Yaakov Avinu says to Lavan, Vayehav Yaakov is Rachel. Yaakov loved Rachel, He says to Lavan, I will work for you for 7 years, for Rachel, your daughter, Hakitano. So usually Hakitano is translated as your younger daughter, meaning you have two daughters, Leah and Rachel. I don't want to marry the older one, Leah. I want to marry the younger one, Rachel. The Sfarno, however, gives a slightly different interpretation of this, and again, it gives us some insight into the story itself. Writes the Sfarno, what's Bitcha Haketano? Kitoch Sheva Shonim Yehiye Ito Es Dodim. Within the next 7 years, Rachel will come of age and shall be marriageable age. In other words, according to the Sfarno, the word kitana doesn't simply mean younger, right? The truth is the Torah, a few psukim later, is going to use a different word to describe younger as opposed to older. It's going to use the word se'ira. Se'ira means the younger one. So Rachel bitcha haktana means Rachel, your daughter, who is a minor, who is underage. She's a ketana in the sense in which we use that term today. She's not of marriageable age yet. So the idea that Yaakov wants to explain to Laban is as follows. Why is he offering to work for 7 years? So apparently, Rachel was underage, and by the time 7 years, you know, he wants to stick around for 7 years. I'll work for you for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, she'll be old enough that I can marry her, right? In other words, maybe the implication is that right now she's 5, and in 7 years she'll be 12, she'll be of an age of majority, and at that point she'll be bas mitzvah. I'll be able to marry her at that particular point. Right? So that's one thing that Yaakov Avinu is driving at. So again, the image that we're supposed to have in our minds, according to the Sfarno, is that Rachel is a young girl, a very young girl. You know, it's going to be 7 years before she's of marriageable age. She's a very young girl by the time Yaakov Avinu encounters her. And then the Sfarno adds something else. V'tuchal benkach lehasi hagedola. Right, assuming that Leah is significantly older than Rachel. Right, there is a tradition that Leah and Rachel were twins. The Sfarno does not seem to be assuming that. Right, but he assumes that Leah was significantly older than Rachel. So Yaakov Avinu, according to the Sfarno, was already sensitive to the idea that Lavan is going to mention at the end of 7 years that Lo Yayosa Chen Bim Komenu Lo Sei Tzatzira Lefnei HaBechira, that our minog in this place is to always marry off the girls in age order. Right, so it makes sense to marry off Leah before I marry off her younger daughter, her younger sister Rachel. So Yaakov Avinu is already aware of this, so he anticipates this. So he says to Lavan, look, Leah's a little bit older than Rachel. In the next 7 years, you'll certainly manage to marry off Leah. And then by the time it comes, the end of the 7 years, Rachel will be single, Rachel will be eligible, and now marry Rachel. It's all going to work out well. Yaakov Avinu thinks when he makes this deal with Lavan. Again, little does he know that Lavan is actually going to deceive him. But again, we get an image of what the relative ages of Leah and Rachel are, you know, from the psukim themselves. Okay? So, the psukim describe how Yaakov Avinu is tricked. And then we read, he marries Leah, he marries Rachel, and then Pasuk Lamed, Vayavo Gam El Rachel. So Yaakov was maritally intimate also with Rachel. The also over there means in addition to Leah. Vayehav gam es Rachel mileya. So that phrase is an interesting one to translate. He loved also Rachel mileya, more so than Leah. The word gam also in that second phrase seems to be totally out of place. Right? It would have read very, very smoothly for the Pasuk to say, Vayehav es Rachel mi Leah. He loved Rachel more so than Leah. What's the gam? Vayehav gam es Rachel mi Leah. What's added by the word gam also? So here also the Svarno has a beautiful pshat. Vayehav gam es Rachel. Lo bishvil ha'ishus bilvad. It's not simply that he loved this woman in the sense that he wanted to just start a family, and he saw this woman, Rachel, as a convenient way to do so. Avol gam ba'asher hi Rachel. But he loved also the Rachel aspect of her, so to speak. Bishvil ma'aseha hanim shachim litzuroso ha'ishis. Because of the kind of deeds that were unique to her and to her character. To flesh out the idea behind the Svarno a little bit, I want to mention an idea that the Svarno talks about in two different places in this parasha, and it's an important. Rashi already sort of alludes to this, but the Svarno spells it out a little bit more than Rashi does. Rashi talks about it very, very tersely. Yaakov Avinu, and for that matter the Imahos, realize that the children that they're going to have are going to be the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Right? They realize that they're not just having a regular family, but they realize that the children that they're going to have are going to be the foundation, the building blocks of Klal Yisrael. And for that reason, there's an incredible emphasis. One might even say a somewhat startling emphasis in the parasha on the importance of producing kids. You know, certainly we see the conversations between Rachel and Leah and the conversations they have with Yaakov. You know, am I going to have a kid? Am I not going to have a kid? You know, what can I do to get a kid? What kind of subterfuge could I engage in to get a kid? It's like, hold on, you know, everything in marriage is just about having kids? Really, that's it? You know, everything is focused on that? And the answer is maybe, you know, maybe there's what to talk about in a more typical kind of situation. You know, maybe the focus should be on things other than simply having children. But here this is a unique set of circumstances. Here the children who are going to be produced by this marriage are going to be the foundation box of Klal Yisrael. So, you know, if there's an incredible emphasis on, you know, the women in the story being the vehicles through which the children are going to be produced, so be it. You know, that's appropriate for this particular family where the outcome of the offspring of this family are going to be the Shivtei Kod. They're ultimately going to build up Klal Yisrael. Right? So to take one example, Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Chof Aleph, when Yaakov finishes the 7 years, and he goes to Lavan, and he says, "Vayomer Yaakov el Lavan, Hava is ishti, give me my wife, v'avoa eleha, and I will be intimate with her." So Rashi already notes it's a very coarse kind of way to speak. Yaakov Avinu went to his future father-in-law and said, "Okay, it's time. I want my wife. You know, so we can just be intimate with one another." You know, if prospective son-in-law said that to his father-in-law today, we would be a little bit taken aback by such a direct way of talking, such a coarse way of talking. You know, that's how you're talking about my daughter? It's a little bit off-putting. But as Rashi puts it, Elo l'holid tolodos omar kach, Yaakov Avinu was focused on having these kids who would ultimately be the building blocks of Klal Yisrael. That's the Svarno writes on that pasuk as well. Ki chofetz lahasig nachlas Hashem bonim. Yaakov Avinu was focused on achieving that which would be the ultimate inheritance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have children. And the children in this context as well are going to be the building blocks of Klal Yisrael. So if there's a little bit of almost like obsessive focus on let's have children, it's because of that particular reason. So coming back to our Svarno on Pasuk Lamed, when the Pasuk says, Vayehav Gamis Rachel, it means Yaakov Avinu loved Rachel on one level because she was the woman who would create Klal Yisrael together with him. But beyond that, he loved Gamas Rachel. He loved the Rachel aspect of Rachel, because Rachel Imenu herself had so many wonderful qualities. Not only was she destined to be the mother of part of Klal Yisrael, but in her own right, you know, she brought so much to the table in terms of her personality and her midos tovos. Vayehav Gamas Rachel. He loved both parts of Rachel, both the way that she would be able to be a mother, but also an important wife to Yaakov Avinu. The pasuk says in pasuk Lamed Aleph that Vayar Hashem ki snua Leia vayiftach esrachmo. Hashem saw that Leah was hated, and he opened up her womb. So the Mefarshim, the Ramban, among others, talk about that word snua, that Leah was hated. It's a very, very strong terminology. You know, Yaakov hated Leah? Maybe Yaakov didn't like Leah as much as he loved Rachel. But to say that Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah, Hashem saw that Leah was hated by Yaakov Avinu, that rubs you the wrong way. How do you understand that? So the Ramban in one explanation says, snua in this context doesn't mean that she was really hated. It just means, relatively speaking, you know, he loved Rachel more. Okay, that's one way to understand it. The Sfardo presents a very different pshat, and one that's very, very original. We know that Rachel was barren. Rachel had the hardest time conceiving children, again, as documented in the Chumash itself. What about Leah? So you say, Leah was barren? Leah, right off the bat, produced four kids, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. And then later on, she has, you know, Yisachar and Zvulun also. Six kids. I wouldn't call that barren exactly. In what sense was Leah barren? So the Sfarna makes an interesting diak in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayiftach Esrachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the womb of Leah. So if he opened up the womb, says the Sfarno, the implication is that Leah's womb previously had been closed. Vayiftach Esrachma doesn't just simply mean that she became pregnant, because Vayiftach Esrachma implies that something was wrong, that she was otherwise incapable of becoming pregnant. But the Ribbono Shel Olam made a miracle and took the previously barren Leah and gave her the ability to have children. We all know that Rachel was barren. But comes the Sfarna with the Chiddush that really when Leah got married, she was also barren. She also did not seem like she was capable of having children. So now comes the Sfarna with the following fascinating interpretation. Yaakov Avinu wakes up the morning after his wedding. V'hinehi Leah. And behold, the woman whom he married turns out to be Leah. That's disappointing. That wasn't what Yaakov Avinu had in mind. But one disappointment follows another disappointment, says the Sfarna. Because Yaakov Avinu realizes not only did he marry the wrong woman, but in getting to know Leah a little bit, he says to himself, wait a minute, this woman has all the signs of a woman who's barren. She has the simone islandis, as the Sfarno puts it. You know, I'm spending time with her. I realize that she doesn't seem like she's capable of having children. So this must have been not only Lavan's trick, says Yaakov. I bet Leah was in on this trick as well. And perhaps even Leah initiated this trick. Because she knew as a barren woman, she would have a hard time getting married. And that's why she was so ready to allow herself to be given to me as a wife in trickery, because otherwise she'd never be able to get a shidduch, she'd never be able to get married. And she deliberately tricked me in order that I should be stuck with this woman who's not capable of having children. Now, under normal circumstances, that would be disappointing in its own right. But now add to the fact, as we just said a few moments ago, that Yaakov Avinu was so focused on having children to build Klal Yisrael. And now this woman deceives him and, you know, passes herself off as a worthy marriage candidate when in point of fact she's not capable of having children. Yaakov Avinu is enraged that Leo would trick him in such a way. Comes the Sforno and he says, so that's what it means, Kisnua Leo. That Leo was hated by Yaakov Avinu. Not just not loved as much as Rachel. She was hated by Yaakov Avinu because Yaakov Avinu saw her as deliberately deceiving him in order to essentially pass herself off and to give herself in marriage to Yaakov Avinu when she was incapable of having children. She was taking someone who otherwise would never get married and presenting herself to Yaakov Avinu, and there went a good part of his ability to father the Jewish people. He was terribly disappointed and enraged and very upset at Leah for what he perceived as being her role in this whole deception. But what happened? So says the Sforno, we know there's a halacha that's recorded in Chumash, Parshas Naso, the halacha of the Sota. The woman is suspected of infidelity. What happens if she indeed engaged in infidelity? So we know that that doesn't end so well for her. But let's say she's suspected of infidelity and it's not really true. She drinks the mesota and nothing happens to her. So the Pasuk says, V'nixa v'nizra azara, a woman who's suspected wrongly of infidelity and is proven that the husband suspected her wrongly, she'll be rewarded with being able to have children. So says the Sforno, that's how you fit in this whole Pasuk. Vayar Hashem kisnua Leia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Leah was hated. And she was hated unjustly. In other words, it was Lavan's idea to switch Leah for Rachel. Leah herself, she only agreed to do it because her father basically pushed her into it. She certainly was not an active partner in trying to deceive Yaakov Avinu. So she was being suspected by Yaakov unjustly. Oh, you're suspected unjustly? So Vayiftach Hashem es Rachma. So it's just like the Sota is given the ability, even if she was barren, Chazal say, even if the Sota was barren, Kodesh Baruch Hu miraculously will give her the ability to have children. Leah was also barren. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed her to overcome that barrenness because she was falsely suspected by Yaakov Avinu. Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah, Vayiftach es Rachma. He saw that she was being suspected inappropriately, unjustly, so he took away, in a miraculous fashion, her barrenness, and she was able to have children. Otherwise, it sounds like Leah on her own naturally was not capable of being able to have children at that particular point. There's a number of interesting diyukim in the psukim themselves that reveal insights that we would not have necessarily had. We're just going through the Chumash on a simple level. Right, but I guess, maybe he thought... Maybe he thought that neither of them would work out and there would have to be some plan C down the line, which would involve a lot of even more, difficulty in Agmas Nefesh. He had been working on this plan for 7 years. It wasn't a little thing if he would have to go in a different direction. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Rotzah,